1 Timothy chapter 6, if you'll look there with me this morning. This chapter, and actually the book of 1 Timothy, has always been something that I have looked to many, many times. I remember back many years ago in the earlier days of our ministry, and I looked to 1 Timothy so much. Maybe it was because Paul was talking to a young preacher, primarily. But it's not just a message to preachers. It's a message to all of us and a challenge to all of us to take heed to the admonition of the Apostle Paul and the Scripture here. We're going to read here 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may hold on eternal life. We'll stop reading right there. Really, in this month of January, been looking and want to challenge you with the word pursuit or pursuing. Last week, we spoke about pursuing souls, actively pursuing the lost. And today we want to talk about pursuing a godly life. And I think that really the purpose of a message like this today is to provoke you to think. I think much of the time we just kind of float in our lives. And especially when the winter season comes along, we just kind of freeze up and hibernate and survive the best we can throughout the cold weather. If you're not careful, you'll stop thinking about things intentionally. You'll stop really on purpose thinking about things that need to be really at the center of your life, at the center of your thinking. So I want to provoke you to thinking here this morning about a few things. And first of all, by just asking you that question, what are you pursuing in your life, and why? What is the pursuit of your life right now, and what is it? When people look at you, think of you, if they know anything about you, what is it that they think of when they see you? What's the first observation that they have about you? Is it that you are a godly person? Well, it may not be true of a lot of us or most of us that that's what they think of first. But I do believe that you and I, we really need to be aspiring to be identified
as godly people, because we have been called to be a godly, live a godly person, to live a godly life in this world. In your thought, just take a moment this morning and consider, what is it that consumes your thinking? What is it that consumes your time, your energy, your spending? Well, just think about, what are the things that really consume your life? And that the world looks at you and they say, that person is a, and they identify you by the thing that means the most to you. Well, as Christians, the center and the focus of our life has to be Jesus Christ, or should be. It should be your walk with God. It should be known that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and that you're an example of godliness in this world. There seems to be this prevailing spirit and attitude that's affecting a lot of people in our country right now. A lot of people are not putting much energy into anything. Surprisingly, 100 million people in America right now, that's the statistic, 100 million people in America today have no job, and a large percentage of them are looking for a job. Maybe they have, and they're discouraged with it and can't seem to find a job, but there's a large population of people in our nation that really don't have any sense of worth or sense of value, and their life is just a day-to-day existence and survival. Now, some are in that predicament maybe because of circumstances beyond their control, but there's a lot of people that they have just kind of given up, and they don't really care, and they're just kind of, you know, living off the land and surviving the best that they can. Now, that translates into even a spiritual culture in our world today. We live in a world right now where Christian people are floating along. We're surviving. We're not making much progress. We're not pursuing the things of God. We're grateful that we're saved. We're grateful for our past experiences. We're grateful for how that God has worked in our lives. And we're glad that we have God to call on in the time of need. But to really say that Jesus Christ and the gospel and the work and the ministry of the gospel and the church is the center and the focus of our life, if we look very close, we're going to have to evaluate our life in the light of truth and come to the conclusion a lot of other things are more important to us than God and the things of God. And that should trouble you. I know that as I have been going through this, meditating on this, it troubles me. It convicts me, and I ask the Lord to strengthen me and to help me. Because I think that when you look at your life and what you're doing with your life, Brother Bowman was saying that last night, in the night, I hope you don't care for me saying this, but he woke up in the middle of the night and was thinking about the fact that he's going to turn 65, his next birthday. That's really old, Brother Bowman, 65. And the years are clicking off, and we all are experiencing this. The years are going by, and that's a time that we evaluate where we are, what we're doing. And do you understand that this day is a day that is a gift from God? What you do with the time will be accountable to God for it. The day's going to be gone, and you're not going to be able to do anything about this day tomorrow. The opportunity is going to be gone. And the days are clicking by, and the weeks are clicking by, and your opportunities are coming and going. And the question for all of us here today is, what is it that is the pursuit of your life? What is it? And I think that we've got to get away from the two extremes that seem to be very prevalent in our world today. One extreme is just kind of lay back, be lazy, slothful, and you know, just let every day just kind of happen. Or some in our generation that have taken the other extreme, and they're filling up every minute with things that really don't matter. And they're after a lot of things in this world that's not going to really matter. And they're working hard, and they're, you know, they're success-oriented and driven, and their heart is set on certain things of achievement in this world. But even with all of that, many times, the things that we're pursuing are not going to count as far as eternity is concerned. So we need to weigh that here. And we're still right here at the beginning of this new year, and priorities need to be rearranged. And our time needs to be looked upon as a treasure and a valuable asset. The most valuable thing that we have, and that we should use our time and our days for something that can bring glory and honor to God. Something that will have an eternal consequence. Amen. Amen. What is the pursuit of your life? What is the pursuit? Are you pursuing a godly life? Are you pursuing Him to please the Lord? You got to looking at this word, pursuit. To follow after something, to try to catch something, to try to capture something. This is just different parts of the definition. To try to get or to do something over a period of time, to be involved in something. It's an activity. A pursuit is to put your heart, your life, your energy, to expend of your time and everything you have to pursue something. The psalmist said, Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Now, I don't believe that the psalmist was saying, all I want to do is go to church and bask in the presence of God. But I do believe that what he was saying was, one thing that I'm after and I'm in pursuit of, and that's God and the things of God. And I'm seeking after the presence of God. And do you understand that if you can get into the presence of God, that you can get direction from God? You can get some insight into what He wants to do with you and what your day should be consumed with. One of the reasons why that we gather together on the first day of the week. Sure, we do that on the Lord's Day to worship the Lord and to focus upon the Lord. But really, one of the most valuable things that we don't even consider is that this is a day that we can wait in the presence of God. We can hear His voice and get His wisdom and direction for the coming days of that week. Lord, what do you want me to be doing this week? What steps do you want me to be taking? What do you want me to do with the times that you are giving to me? One day or one thing have I desired of the Lord. Joshua learned the lesson as he inherited the responsibilities of Moses in the watch care of the great children of Israel moving into the promised land. Here's what Joshua 1 and 8 says. "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Joshua understood that he was going to have to hear from God and be consumed with the things of God and with the Word of the Lord. And from that that devotion to God and to His Word, it was going to spring from that success, blessing, prosperity, all these things that the world is striving for. You can have godly success, godly prosperity, if you'll put God first. If you'll put the presence of God and the Word of God first in your life. Amen. Now, the Declaration of Independence gives to us certain, we have been given rights, certain unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, that whole pursuit of happiness thing is really stretched completely out of context, because in the 1700s, The description, the word happiness, it didn't mean, you know, just having a great big jolly time. It was a much more serious definition of that word. It really was a word that meant contentment. Contentment. The pursuit of a life that's fulfilled, that's contented and finding that contentment, as you know, as Christians, we can only find it in the Word of God and in the things of God. So that gets me to my text. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You're really going to be satisfied. It's to be contented is to be satisfied and at peace with your walk with God, your relationship with God. To be at peace, to know you're doing what the Lord wants you to do, to be filling your days with His presence and with His will, and you're walking in all the things that He wants you to do. What about 2015? How precious it is that we have another year and we have days ahead of us. We don't know what the year will bring, but we've already spent 10 and a half of them. We're already into the 11th day of this new year. What is your time and your energy and your focus? And what have you done with the beginning days of this year? Has it been focused on a right relationship with God or other things consuming your life and consuming your time? Are you pursuing a godly life? Or is that what you're after? You can get after it. You can begin to pursue that. You can begin to seek after the Lord with your whole heart. Now he gives to Timothy here some good instruction about this. He says, we brought nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out. We came in empty-handed into this world, born with nothing, and we'll leave this world with nothing. But it's in between our birth and our death what we do with the time that God has given to us. You came into this world with nothing. You'll leave this world with nothing. And what are you going to do with the time that God gives you in between your birth and your death? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Just the basics. Just the basic things that we have need in life. You say, yeah, but I want more. I don't want just food and clothes. I want more. But everything beyond that is just God's blessing. God's blessing. And he may give that to you. But I want to remind you that if he does bless you way beyond that, then he also will hold you accountable for the things that he gives to you. If he gives you fine things and he allows you to have, you know, a lot of money and a lot of privilege and opportunity, if he gives to you all of these things, it's beyond the blessing. And he wants you to know that really your contentment should just be in the basic things that God has provided for us. Then there's the warning. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. They that have focused their attention on earthly things. If that really has become something that's consuming your mind and your heart, then the warning is, it's a snare, it's a trap. It's a trap if you set your heart after these things. The things of this world. Into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Out of this covetous desire for things of this world springs every wicked and evil thing in our life. Everything. So it is a serious matter what you're pursuing. It is something to consider here today. And then he gives these words of instruction to Timothy, which are words of counsel to every one of us today. But thou, O man of God, O godly person, but thou, person that's pursuing to be a godly man or a godly woman, if that's what you're really pursuing after, take notice of some instructions that he gives to Timothy here. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Make note of this here this morning. I know it sounds negative, and we start off here with this negative point, and that is there are certain things that you have to flee from, you have to run from, you have to purpose in your heart that you're going to get away from. As a matter of fact, you have to run for your life. Some of you may have heard the message Pastor Carter Conlon preached maybe 10 years ago, pastor up at New York Times Square Church. And it's been listened to and viewed online thousands of times, and I challenge you to look at it. It's called Run for Your Life. Run for Your Life. It's a powerful, powerful message telling us what we need to do. You say, that's all negative to say that I should just flee and run away from things. It is negative, but I want to remind you that whenever you run from certain things, you are always running into the arms of Jesus. Amen. It's not a negative thing to flee from things that will destroy you. It's not a negative thing to turn away and to avoid them and to flee from those things. If you want to be a person that's pursuing a godly life, you have to be willing to say no to some things. You have to be willing to take the warning and take heed to instruction. Young people and children, listen to your mother and dad. Listen to those that God has placed in your life as spiritual authorities. And when they warn you, don't just kind of cast off their warning as if they're just old and don't really know. They're not really with it. No, they're giving you a warning for your good and for your bless you. That sometimes the only thing you can do as a Christian and the most positive thing that you can do is say no and run and flee and get away from things that can bring destruction to your life. The idea here is literally the word there in the text is to flee these things. Is really, it comes from a word that we get our English word, fugitive. Running for your life. Running for your freedom. Run from that one that is pursuing after you. Sometimes you do your best running toward God when you're running away from a lot of things that'll bring destruction to your life. Amen. Run for your life. There's a lot of bad doctrine out there. There's a lot of worldly-minded teachers out there. There are a lot of friends that want to suck you into a sinful lifestyle. And there's a lot of temptations. And some of you may be facing those temptations right now. To throw aside the things that have been instilled in your heart, in your life. The values that you have lived by. But you're under pressure now to cast those things aside and go after a whole new way of living. Let me warn you about that, that when you do that, you're running away from God. When you run toward the things of the world, you're running away from God and from deepening your relationship with God. Flee these things. Run from these things. Depart from iniquity. Amen. Joseph, who was in Potiphar's house under this constant daily temptation, Potiphar's wife, who keeps coming to him again and again and again and again, to try to pull him in immorality. And there he is. And he's been handed such privilege and such opportunity. But the time comes when Joseph recognizes, I can't talk about this. I can't go to the master about this. I can't get into an argument with anyone about this. The only thing I can do is run. And that's what he did. He ran and left his cloak behind him. It was as if that he was running for his life, and he truly was. He paid the price for that, but whenever he ran away from these things, he was running right into the will of God. He was running right into the arms of God and to do the will of God and to fulfill his godly purpose. Sometimes saying, no, I'm not going to do that. No, everybody else is, but I'm just not going to go that direction. I'm not going to follow that. If you're going to live a godly life, you have to learn how to say no. Amen. You have to learn how to be strong. Sometimes to stand alone and to live a life that's a godly life, an example of godliness. Don't compromise those things that God has put in your heart, those things that God has dealt with you about, those convictions that have been burned into your spirit and your walk with God and your relationship with God. Don't allow anything. Run from all of these things that want to drag you down and destroy your relationship with God. Flee. He was warning him. He was warning young Timothy, because many times people in ministry, they have a number of different types of temptations. One of them is money. Another is popularity and acclaim and a lot of different things that people in ministry experience temptations, and others as well face similar temptations. But he was telling young Timothy, flee from a love for money. Flee from these things that you, from doing ministry for gain and for profit. Get away from those. Just say no to that. Follow me. Do it for God's will. Do it according to the will and to fulfill the purpose of God. The man of God, the woman of God, the godly person has to learn how to say no and run with all of their might away from things that can destroy their walk with God. When you run from sin and you run from the world, you run right straight into the arms of the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. Just you and Jesus. Sometimes you find yourself all alone in your commitment to God, but He's there with you. And so it's not a negative thing, although it appears at first that it is. But notice He says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Run for your life. Learn how to say no. If you're going to pursue a godly life, you must know how to say no." Amen. I remember the message Brother Burkett preached many years ago. He talked about how that when we say our little, small, weak little no, that in heaven it resounds as a loud yes. Amen. Amen. Whenever we say no to sin and no to the temptation in heaven, it's this resounding message that we're saying yes to God. Because when you say no to the world and no to sin, you're saying yes to the things of God. If you're going to pursue a godly life, it's absolutely necessary. And then in the same verse, he said, "But follow after, pursue after certain things." Say no to certain things, but then pursue after certain things. Amen. It's not all a negative message. You say no to the things of this world, but you also pursue good things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sometimes Pentecostals, holiness people, people say, "Oh, so negative. And all they can talk about is, you know, the negatives and the don'ts. And I don't like all that. You can't do this and you can't go there and you can't wear this and you can't be involved in that activity." And people get all shook up over, you know, any time that somebody draws the line somewhere. But we have to learn how to say no. Amen. Amen. I'm kind of belaboring the point here this morning because I want you to think about and consider the importance of saying no. Amen. But then to follow after some good things, to pursue good things. There's six things that are listed here. He says, first of all, righteousness. And righteousness is just doing the right thing. It's just doing the right thing on the outside. It's pursuing godly conduct. That's righteousness. In its simplest form. Righteousness is doing the right thing. It's pursuing right actions and right conduct. Just do the right thing. Amen. This translates into everyday life in so many different ways. But you have to pursue righteousness with your whole heart. Understand that outwardly, the world is observing your life and that you're to live your life, and your conduct and your lifestyle has to be an example of godliness everywhere that you go, because above all, you are a Christian. You belong to Jesus Christ. So in business and your money transactions and how you act in public, I mean, you know, when somebody jumps right in front of you and you want to honk your horn and you want to scream at them but instead you don't do that, do you? Because you're pursuing a righteous life. Amen. Instead you pray for them, right? Lord, help them. Help them, Lord, for what they're doing right now. Righteousness is doing the right thing. It's the outward action. Godliness is the second word that he says we are to pursue. Righteousness is your outward activity, your conduct. Godliness is what's rightness in your heart. It has to do with your motive. It has to do with a heart issue, because you can do the right thing, but you need to have the right heart. And it needs to spring forth out of your living in right relationship with God. Pursue what is right on the outside, that's righteousness, but cultivate in your heart godliness. Amen. A walk with God, a relationship with God, pleasing the Lord, your motives, your desires, your heart, and then springs forth out of your heart Your behavior becomes the outward expression of your relationship with God. Righteousness and godliness and faith is the third thing there that we should be pursuing. He said you're to pursue faith. That just means your confidence in God, your confident trust in God. Pursue after that. The only way you can build up your faith is through spiritual experiences, through times in the Word of God, times in the house of God, times alone with God. Your faith is strengthened by the Word of the Lord and by the hearing of the Word of God. I hope that today, after you leave this service, that your faith is strengthened. I can live a godly life, and I need to be pursuing a godly life to please the Lord. So your faith is just your confidence in God, your trust in the Lord, that you can put your life in His hands and everything that you have in the hands of the Lord. You don't have to worry about the economy that's going up and down and the stock market that plummeted this week, one day this week. And you don't have to worry about all the things that are going on in our world. Now, there's legitimate concern, obviously, but you're not overwhelmed by the concern, but you've got complete trust in God. He's your Heavenly Father, and you can trust Him because you belong to Him, and all that you have belongs to Him. Amen. You put your life and everything you have. That's pursuing faith. You can trust God. He's trustworthy. He's your Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of you. Praise the Lord. Pursue righteousness and godliness and faith. And pursue love. You know, love is just really, it's just selflessness. Love is not this, you know, mushy feeling. It's not this emotional thing. Love is selflessness. That's what it is. And sacrifice and giving of yourself and pursue love. And our great example, of course, is God Himself. Amen. So pursue that love and pursue patience or perseverance, your ability to go through trials and difficulty and trouble and persecutions and sufferings, and that you can go through it with patience as you pursue a right relationship with God, as you grow in the things of the Lord, then you can face these trying times of your life with patience and trust and confidence in the Lord. And meekness, the word there just means gentleness or humility. That you face life circumstances with a confidence in God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. There's a lot more that could be said about that. But those, if you follow after those six words of counsel from the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, you're going to be a long way moving forward in your pursuit of a godly life. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Certain things you have to fight and run from, and there are certain things that you have to pursue. Have you ever looked at someone and admired them as a godly person and thought, oh, I just wish I could be like sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so? Well, you could be if you do what they do. If you walk with God like they do, if you enjoy the fellowship with God like they do. I had a nice conversation this week with Brother James Martin. Wow. James Martin. Isn't he an incredible man of God? He's lost his wife. And what an unbelievable thing that he's gone through. But what a great expression of faith in God. Amen. I thought, now when he called, I thought, now I need to kind of encourage him and try to say some words. Well, I couldn't hardly do that because he was too busy encouraging me. Amen. Amen. He lost his wife last month. And sure, it's a trying time and a challenging situation for him and for his family. But I have to tell you, no matter what we experience, God is faithful. God is faithful. Certain things you have to flee from. Certain things you have to pursue after. You have to get after with your whole heart. Seeking the Lord and trusting the Lord and Brother Martin said, we've spent the last weeks seeking God. What do you want us to do? We have to turn the page. We have to understand. He said, I don't understand why that he's taken her, but I just know that God, he has a plan, and he wants us to fulfill, our family to fulfill his plan. And so we've been spending these days seeking God, and we're starting back out at the end of the month in our missionary work and our ministry. And we're going to move forward by the grace of God. Brother Martin is going to be here with his family at our missions conference this year. He'll be preaching the Thursday night service. Pray for them, but just know this. If you'll pursue a godly life, God will provide for you, no matter what, no matter what you go through. I'm out of time, and I've got two more points. I know I'm going to have to stop. As I said at the beginning, I really just want to provoke you to thinking this morning. I want to provoke you to thinking. Are you really pursuing a godly life? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We take this time here at the close of this service. This is such a good time for us to consider where we are spiritually. And first of all, for those of you in this service today that you're not a Christian, you're not serving the Lord, this godly life, it starts with a step of faith. It begins in your life as God is dealing with your heart about your need for Him. You can be a godly person. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter the mess of sin that you've been involved in. Jesus can take care of all that. Apostle Paul was a murderer and abuser of the church, but he became a force for God. So now don't limit the grace of God. Whatever you have done in the past, you can still pursue a godly life. You can do that. Amen. We've looked at those as examples many times. Oh, I just love to be like that man or that woman. But you can be. If you'll seek the face of God, if you'll pursue God with your whole heart. Hallelujah. Certain things you have to flee. Certain things you have to follow after. Amen. Pursue with your whole heart. I trust that you'll do that today. Glory to God. Glory to God.